number two tonight on Wednesday. That means tomorrow's Thursday. Although in these days, you never know. Let's hope. That's quite a gentleman, Dr. Edwin Vieira. Great to have him on the program, and I always do learn something. He's a remarkable man. He'll be back. He wants to do once a month, which is great. All right. From that, we go to Satan's folly as defined as digital empire, humans plus, evolution 2.0, and replacing God. That's Satan's folly, summed up very well by Professor Dr. Emeritus Eric Carlstrom, who is back tonight. Hello, Eric. Welcome.
Yeah, you know, the impetus for this title comes from my work over the past several days transcribing a five-hour presentation from our friend Allison McDowell, which is called Digital Empire, the War on Humanity and Natural Life. And I've made a post now in which I include her 5.5-hour presentation, which I think is quite brilliant. And then I transcribe sections of it, which I think are particularly important. You know, we've talked many, many times and over a period of years about the targeted individual phenomena, and I have transcribed books or sections of books and videos from many, many people. I think Allison has the big picture perhaps better than anyone I've run across before, and I feel like an undergraduate learning at her feet. Because she has put together so many threads. Now, I know she has been working with others, obviously very high caliber researchers, to come up with a story. Now, we talked about this last time, Jeff, I think maybe last week when I was talking about nine of her presentations. And this is the last of those nine. And again, it's called Digital Empire, the War on Humanity and Natural Life. And I think, you know, it's actually, it seems like a disconnect from your excellent program during the last hour. But you said in the last hour that, the bankers want to force us into their new system. Well, with the war, and I think there is a lot of people are saying that, and what Allison is describing is that new system. It is the Great Reset. It is the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and people have been working on it. Very, very, very smart people, including many great scientists, have been working on elements of this for many, many decades, and the rest of us, they managed to pull off a lot of this in relative secrecy. So what's coming is already laid out. It's already, the technologies are already tested and proven, and I think the targeted individual program very much fits in with this larger context, which is why I'm so excited about it.
I completely agree with you. Yeah, it sure has. It's been it's a bellwether. It's a frontline laboratory to learn how to achieve what their dastardly goals are. I mean, they've really messed people up. A lot of people's lives have been ruined while they learn how to do this.
Well, to be a little provocative, let me just make the connection with our title. This is, in her words, and again, she's speaking in the 5.5-hour presentation, that this is an imperial machine of domination that really is looking to usurp God as the creator at the top of the universe. There is someone at the top, and I make the comment, obviously, Satan, and they are looking to get the key of life and become the top coder and push God out of the way. that the singularity, I think, is their attempt to unlock the key of life. In other words, they're going to get all this data analytics, all this data about all of us, and they're going to run it through their AI supercomputers. And her interpretation is unique. I haven't heard this before. She thinks the goal, of course, Ray Kurzweil's been talking about reaching the singularity since the 1960s. But she's saying that really the purpose of that, that's just one a milestone along the way. And once they get this singularity to learn us inside and out, but not only humans, all living beings, and that the function of this new planetary AI computer then is to compress and flatten our 3, 4, and 5 dimension universe to 2 dimensions for this mind upload so they can control it more easily. And this transition then to the new system would, of course, involve, cryptocurrency, blockchain, all transactions recorded on blockchain, but also through electromagnetic frequencies, directly hooking up to us and managing us and controlling us through the, universal basic income, which will be cryptocurrency to body activity, which they can do remotely, non-invasively, increasingly. So she says this transition involves cybernetics, and that goes back to Norbert Wiener and Crowd back in the 40s, systems engineering, nanoelectronics, ubiquitous computing, electromagnetic frequencies, and the weaponization of the atmosphere and the environment as a whole. I think she put together the story here, and so I'm excited about it. I'm also still a bit overwhelmed by it because there's more in there than I could possibly digest. Maybe it takes another couple weeks of study to get it all, but she's got the name, she's got the corporation, she's got the dates, she's got the scientists. She herself has a master's degree, I think, in a couple, three subjects, not related, but she's a very, very bright lady, and she's able to kind of take her non-expert status and put all these connections together. So I'm very excited. I hope I can entice or excite some of your listeners to help me. We're in a war for not only humanity but for natural life, because these people want to change us at the cellular level. She calls it cellular colonization. She said it is the settler colonial model. It is bio-nanotech imperialism, that the people that are doing this do not care about us. They look at us as talking mice or as animals, and I think that this is borne out by the facts.
I think you're right. Yeah, I agree, and I do think that the technology is on the table right now to accomplish basically everything you just iterated from what she's saying. I think they've got it. I think it's already a done deal.
That's a point worth discussing. She would say that they're going to need coders. And so the Rothschilds, for instance, have this program where they encourage, very smart kids from India and China and all over the world to go into, computing and mathematics and whatnot, so that they can code everything. They want to put biosensors in all of nature. And then, of course, once the biosensors are there, then they can claim that, it's theirs. And not only that, they can see everything and gather more data analytics. And she does not say it's a done deal. She says that, now this is coming from, again, Allison McDowell, that if we can wake up, we can resist this, that we are the defenders of life and, in fact, God's creation. Now, I feel that way, but I do share your frustration that more people are not on this. I mean, the facts are out. They've got the systems.
How can they be when they're staring at their phones 7 hours a day, 6 hours a day? I don't care what it is. They're being programmed constantly when they're staring at those screens. I would also suggest one thing to enter into the extraordinary equation you're laying out, and that's, do we really need a new generation of programmers? Hey, we have AGI right now. They have now admitted that AI is essentially capable of self-awareness, which was the big acid test. It's now thinking like people. It's deducting and reasoning like people do. They've admitted this. I've got the story. So do they really need a generation of coders, young people in India, whatever? I don't think so. How, if AI has a human equivalent IQ of 120, which is a pretty good run for most people, if their AGI platforms are running at 2,000 or 1,500, what the hell do we need people for to code? It can code 1,000 times, maybe 100,000 times faster than people, and the cost is virtually insignificant, and they'll do it one hundredth the time. I mean, I'm just saying that's the possibility I see that we're facing. Please go ahead.
Well, this is I think a worthwhile discussion. And of course, very difficult for us to know because
we're
talking about things that are very, very complex. But what she's talking about, and I'm not positive that she's right, that the purpose of reaching the singularity where computers are, you know, smarter and more capable than humans, is to crack the code of life. Now, I don't know what the code of life is, but she seems to think, or maybe her collaborators seem to think, that this is something that, you know, can be done, or that they are pointing towards doing. I don't know. This is above my head for sure. I'm not a coder. I'm not a computer scientist. I have a hard time even following Sabrina Wallace, who's quite brilliant on these things, and actually we've talked about Sabrina's work. She's a little flamboyant and unconventional, but a lot of what she says dovetails nicely with what Allison says, who's less of an expert than Sabrina on computing. But yeah, we're talking about you and I have talked about so many aspects of this over the years. We've talked about the cybernetics. We've talked about the military documents. We've talked about, you know, what it's like to be a TI and how the system works. The exciting thing to me about Allison's work is that she puts all of the things that we've been talking about into a larger context, which includes, again, human capital markets and hedge funds. But the bottom line, again, fits nicely with the conclusions we've already reached, which is the central bankers have been and are funding this. The CIA is kind of in charge, CIA et al, I suppose we could call it. So many of the conclusions or the speculations that we've made over the past years are borne out by her work, but she takes it to new levels of understanding, which includes this idea of these people trying to replace God. Now, we haven't talked too much about that, but that gets into the whole, you know, the Illuminati thing, you know, and of course, this is what the New Age movement is about, you know, humans becoming gods. This is what Noah Yuval Harari talks about, you know, humans 2.0, homo deus, God man. This is what the elite, well, Jewish billionaires talk about, like Yuval Noah Harari. They're all about becoming gods. And then the rest of us then would become cyborgs or, as
correct.
Allison says, centaurs.
That's what they say. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so this has to do with human augmentation. This often flies under the name of longevity studies. And there's always the dual use where they're saying, okay, we're doing these kinds of neural research projects, you know, to cure Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. But the military is central to all this, along with the healthcare system, which we saw, of course, in COVID. Operation Warp Speed, very much a military project, but yet it is rolled out as a health emergency. So what we're seeing is this dual use aspect to help and to harm is built into this collaboration then between the medical profession and the military, and we've seen this roll out over the past 5 years for sure. As you know, of course, And here's another little comment. These medical tracking systems, because it can be medical, it can be military, or both, are tied to sensor networks, which many of which are inside us, including wearable technologies and related biosensors. And she brings out the connection to graphene, which perhaps we want to talk about more later. Once the predictions are made, that's the data analytics, it's not simply about threat assessment, which is what MITRE, she talks a lot about MITRE in the whole third presentation as being a company that's gone back to 1958.
Spell MITRE. Eric,
what's
spell
that?
MITRE. Spell MITRE for us. MITRE?
Yes, MITRE. This is one of the defense contractors going back to 1958, which was all about using radar to detect threats in a nuclear age. Now she says, now, and this is quite brilliant, I think, our bodies are viewed as weaponized systems against society, against the technocracy, against the smart city polis, that would be population, that is coming, and what that means for us. In other words, the military is actually regarding all of us as a risk management problem. Now, this gets into the whole targeted individual thing big time, and plays back to the one of our earlier debates about whether we're all targeted or not. And I think this, again, something we should talk about. We get people like Dr. James Giordano, the neuroscientist, neuroweaponologist, neuroethicist out of Georgetown University, who works with DARPA and the Human Brain Project in Europe. And he's talking about how they use big data to assess and target us. He says we are targeting the brain. We've talked about him, I think, but she quotes him quite a bit. So all these threads are coming together. We've got the military working really for the central banks. And I can kind of vouch for that. I like to watch these YouTube presentations of this colonel or that lieutenant making a presentation to his superiors. And usually somewhere in there he's showing a bunch of graphs of how these technologies are doing on Wall Street and how this is going to be a good moneymaker, you know. So so as we've gone into the privatization of government, which was huge in the Clinton-Gore era of the 90s, more and more the military, I think, is working directly for the big bucks people, the central banks and the corporations, and the just really cut the American people right out of the loop. So I'll pause there, Jeff, if you want to jump back to respond to that.
No, that's all very interesting. They do, I'm convinced, view humanity and humankind as a commodity. And it's to be used, it's to be influenced, it's to be contoured to their liking, etc. I'm keeping it rather simple. And I think that is the door. We're either stepped through the doorway or we're on the threshold. And I don't know which it is. It's tough. But I think that history tells us that wherever they are in their technological advancement -achievement paradigm, we are the last to know. They're not going to tell us. And that's why I believe that AGI has been reached. The Chinese even basically said it. Chinese scientists, several of them, claim that AI is now capable of spontaneous, human-like understanding. Now, we can take that and walk down a pretty good path with it. That's AGI, self-awareness. Can AI think? I don't think we should always define things 100% with our definitions, though. There are other forms of intelligences in the universe that don't necessarily follow our path. So I think that this AI thing may well be one of those other pathways. It's all very, it's daunting for the average person. And I just want to reiterate that they're not going to tell us until it is well down the road and it would serve their purposes somehow, some way. That's just my take. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I would just go back to the great Mark Twain. He said there's lies, there's damn lies, and there's statistics. And then we could take it a step further, and then there's computer models. And we remember when, you know, back in 2009, Phil Jones, the British climatologist, quote-unquote, at the University of East Anglia, made all these, he's making $1 million a year, paid by the globalists, of course, to make these projections that we're going to have radical warming, by the end of 2100. And they had to spend enormous amounts of money on these, a number of different huge computer models, all of which turned out to be wrong. And then we go back to another Brit, Neil Ferguson, who at the beginning of COVID at the Imperial College, notice they're both in England, comes up with his computer model saying, this many people are going to die in England unless we all line up for the shot, you know. So these guys are frauds. They're fraudsters. They're con men. The computer models have turned out to be, in my opinion, that's the metaverse. They want to take our 3, 4, 5 dimension universe and put it into these computer models. Okay, then the AI, I would suggest, is a much fancier version of that, but it's still mathematical algorithms, totally dependent on those who program it and the agendas of those who program it. So yeah, they're very advanced now, you know, with Sophia and these other cloned robots that, you know, look pretty real. But I'm not that impressed, to tell you the truth, although Allison does a very good job of bringing in some of these videos of some of these robots and what they can do.
Eric, let me ask you a question. Pause there, please. Where did she go for her inspiration? She wasn't born with this ability to think, synthesize, reason, analyze, and then bring out a cogent roadmap for people to listen to. Who was her? Who inspired her? Do we know?
No, I really don't. It's a good question. She grew up in Philadelphia, which is a very poor city. Of course, it's been, and it's a home of a lot of these pilot projects like human capital investment and impact investing that take advantage of the minority communities there, the blacks, etc. And she was a mother who was evidently very involved in the education of her children, and she saw how the children were being manipulated in these pilot programs, which were very dehumanizing. And so she got into it from the take advantage of the minority communities there, the blacks, etc. And she was a mother who was evidently very involved in the education of her children, and she saw how the children were being manipulated in these pilot programs, which were very dehumanizing. And so she got into it from the
network. It's happened before at about the 40-minute mark of hour number 2. So we were just shut down. Had nothing, couldn't email, couldn't do anything from back there. So we just lost you for 15 seconds, so please try and pick it up again.
Yeah, well, we were talking about Allison McDowell, and, you listen to her talks, you can see that she's not a Christian, really, but she does believe in God. She believes in the wonder and beauty and importance of the natural world, and that it's our job to kind of defend it. And these people are out to, they're totally driven by greed and power and money. And they're out to commodify everything, put biosensors in everything, own everything. This is the privatization of the world.
Greed, power, and money. Look at the evolution of Homo sapiens on this planet. Greed, power, and money in the year 2025. Totally driven by those three, as you said correctly. What kind of a future does this species have? I don't think it has much of a future. Homo sapiens? I don't see it. They've been dumbed down with great success. tremendous accomplishment of dumbing down an entire planet, basically. Well, you do it through education, through the media, through sight, sound, even touch, smell, I guess. It's not looking good, in my view. And I'm just trying to be pragmatic as in terms of how I see it. Please go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to put a little appendix at the end of this post where I listed the five I wills of Satan in the book of Isaiah, where Satan says, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Okay, so he wanted to be equal with God and to make God's, and to take God's place. Well, this seems to be what at least Allison thinks they're doing. And I think that that's probably right. And there's lots of reasons to believe that. Now, let me say something that's a little hopeful here. There's a woman who commented on this article. I've got one comment now. Pamela Austin says 3 days ago, few will probably believe this, but I'll write it anyway. As a Christian, I know the Lord has told me that they have tried to control me through tech, but his spirit prevents it. Satan is the prince of the power of the Air Force, but Jesus is the authority above all authorities. His spirit prevents their air-traveling tech from getting through. Yeah, I think power of the air and the electromagnetic frequencies should be equated because the Air Force has been playing with that for a long time. As such, I think that that may be why I'm surveilled 24/7 by foot soldiers. Those would be the perpetrators, the flying monkeys, etc., the goons on the ground. And yeah, a camera is mounted above my apartment door when there isn't one mounted above anyone else's in the building. I've thought about how Wi-Fi and radio and microwave signals work like spirits. We can't see them, we just see what they do. But I imagine an actual spirit is more powerful than these other things. And yet, Jesus dominates those spirits, so I know inanimate man-made tech cannot then conquer God. My point is, there is a path for a person to take that dissolves the power of these things, entering the heart and soul, and it's Jesus and his spirit. Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but cannot touch the soul. Through him, the soul is saved and is safe. This mark of the beast will be the dividing of those who have Jesus and those who do not, as Jesus said, I'll put the goats to my left and the sheep to my right. Then I'll say to the goats on my left, depart into everlasting damnation, and to the sheep, come and enter into my glory. Thank you for Dr. Carlstrom for your site. I learned a great deal here. So I thought I'd say something that was maybe a little more hopeful.
Oh, very good. Very good. That's good. What are we without
hope? She's not the first that has told me that their faith in Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, has helped them immeasurably through this hell experience of being a targeted individual, which I think relates very much to these programs, to the hedge funds, to the market, human capital, and the TIs are the bellwether guinea pigs for this, and Allison has been, you know, informed by many TIs, and here's what one of them wrote to her. The collaboration between DOD, military, Homeland Security, gaming, entertainment, big tech, gig workers, gamers, citizens on patrol, etc. Yep, that is the big picture that has materialized through my experience and research. It's a game. It's the military has got together with the video game people and the entertainment people in Hollywood, and as Brian too, remember, I think you had Brian on and we've talked about his yeah, work. He says this is all a deadly game of deception and manipulation, a deadly game, and he says they're using hyper game theory to track the encounters and monitor the encounters and create the encounters, the attacks really against targeted individuals, and then monitor their responses, probably putting that on blockchain probably betting on that in the hedge funds. So with Allison, then we get a bigger view of how this fits. And of course, this would then be a way to control people in the smart cities. And she talks about the movie Logan's Run from 1975, where they had created this high tech world in 2300, and one of the guys, Logan, who was actually his job was to kill the runners. He ran, that is to say, tried to escape. And she talks about how they want all this data analytics so that they can find who the runners might be, and then this whole TI program then could be used to take them out. So I think what we're dealing with is very much like the Hunger Games, where we're pitted against each other, and that it does have framework with all these systems, which are above the ability of most people to even comprehend. I think many people are pulled into this as perpetrators, for instance, without understanding much about the system at all. They get a little bit of money. They get, promises of this or that. They get lied to by whatever InfraGuard, FBI, retired folks that are kind of doing this on the ground. And not only that, but the intelligence community is doing it on the ground, and the special operations forces. There's an enormous program that I think involves millions of people on the ground, basically secret armies of people who are out there spying on and harassing their neighbors. So you could say we've already gone into kind of a East German communist Stasi or Nazi German spy system here, which is very brutal, and that this is how the post-war imposition of the New World Order or the Great Reset or the Fourth Industrial Revolution will be enforced. The enforcement will be this collaboration of military and spies on the ground and exotic technologies, which we've discussed. So this is a very, very draconian system, one that I think that, again, we have to resist with everything we have if we want to maintain our nation our lives and our culture and our civilization. These people are torturers.
How do we do that? I agree with you. How do we do that? Do we go to the ballot box? Do we get a placard and stand outside someone's office? How do we do that? We've been
So look at this gal, Allison, and that's a very good question, of course, and a very important question. Allison has got herself kind of a team of collaborators. She's a real sweet Earth Mama type, who really believes in the American Indian movement and the Native peoples and whatnot. She's got a real soft heart, but I think she's got a network of people that you could call a very informal intelligence think tank, which is to try to preserve our culture and our civilization and human decency and our species and our beautiful creation against these monsters. I would love to get into a grassroots intelligence group like that, where I could share information. You and I do this, to expand that with other people, and of course with all your guests, you've created something which is already there, which is of course one of the reasons why it's great to be able to, for me and others, to tap into that. But my feeling is that the resistance has to come from intelligent people who are committed, like Allison, and sharing of information and sharing of knowledge and inspiration. And she does that so beautifully that I really hope some of your listeners will be inspired to maybe listen to Allison's podcast and maybe go through my post, which transcribes what I think are some of the highlights, and try to come to grips with this information, because this is the world that is going to be crashing down around us in ways that are very brutal and hostile. They really have, the Pentagon really has teamed up with Hollywood. Now, there was so much of this going on in the 90s, we didn't know about, but yet Hollywood showed us kind of what it's about. If you want to know what it's like to be a TI, look at a spate of movies that came out in the 1990s. Enemy of the State with Will Smith shows what it's like for an individual to be the target of the National Security Agency, the NSA, and all their very, very high technology. It's instant right. nightmare. And then The Game with Michael Douglas shows a psychological warfare against a billionaire or millionaire in San Francisco, and how all these other actors coordinate their activities to destroy his life and take his money. And then, of course, The Truman Show shows what it's like. This all coming out in the late 1990s. Not a mistake, I don't think. Not a coincidence. The Truman Show, what it's like to be in a world where everybody is pretending, as the girl says who loves Truman. People are being coached by this guy who's kind of the movie director there, and it's all for money. And the life of Truman then becomes a show for all the TV world out there, and he's the filmer, and all the set around Truman, or they're all acting. This is what it's like to it feels like to be a TI, where everybody's pretending, everybody's lying to you, and everybody's cheating you, and everybody's or at least a very high percentage, so you don't really know, you know. So you lose your trust.
You can be afflicted with a severe case of paranoia easily.
Well, let me take you back to Gregory Bateson, the MI6 CIA guy in the Macy's conference, 6'7", married to Margaret Mead. He says, we want to find ways to mimic the symptoms of schizophrenia. Okay, he's an anthropologist, again, married to Margaret Mead, the anthropologist. He was in the Macy conferences. He's one of the principals. And his whole thing was the double bind. And, you know, how you put people in a double bind, no-win situation. There's been a lot of thinking that's gone into this by a lot of brilliant people who've made a lot of money by, again, the central bankers and the governments who are supporting this. So, yes, you can become paranoid. You can say, if I were to go to a medical person or even a police, you know, and say some of my experiences, well, the experiences are meant to make you look crazy, you know. No, you can't be. That can't be real. You know, they wouldn't do that. You must be nuts. And they go to the diagnostic and statistical manual of the psychiatric profession written by CIA psychiatrists, and they look it up and they say, oh, well, you're hearing voices in your head, huh? Oh, you're being followed by 50-100 people. Oh, well, you must have schizophrenia. You know, and of course the CIA set this up this way, you know. So these people are not stupid. They have a long-term goal. They don't want dissidents. They have lots and lots of programs to take out dissidents, and TIs, of course, are often many of them are people who've spoken up or spoken out against government crimes, such as myself. And, this is a very clever system. But once you see behind the curtain, you see the wizard, you see the CIA, you see these programs that have developed since World War II and even before, then you realize what's going on. And now you realize you're dealing with these people who believe they're gods. They're above the law. They want to replace God, just like Satan did, you know? They hire the most brilliant scientists. Let's not put these guys down. These people are brilliant.
Well, Giordano Church. Okay, there are a bunch of them, and they are smart.
Charles Lieber's been working on this stuff since the 90s with Corporation. Nanotechnology, smart dust, self-assembling, neurotech, nanotech. They're colonizing our cells, and that they've with all these emerging technologies that Giordano talks about, and Moore's Law, everything gets smaller and more powerful, radically, exponentially. Yeah. They almost can do whatever they want now when you put these emergent nano, bio, quantum, IT technologies together. We're in new territory. It's like the old rules of science don't apply. They can get down to the nano level and build what they want, as you know, because we've played that guy Charles, whatever his name was, the CIA guy talking to the military about how they're going to, make this cell,
yes.
repository of all this information. They're going to use the DNA to store data. And, you know, these guys are way out there. And the average person, you know, you and I are struggling to understand it. And, of course, we're much more familiar with it than most because we've been trying to investigate it. But these guys are, you know, working at a very, very, very high level at the top universities, MIT, Harvard, Stanford Research Institute. It's often the same, Yale, Columbia. It's the same universities which are getting this CIA money and that are doing these very high-tech things. And, of course, Jeffrey Epstein tapped into that. And Elon Musk, these guys want to seed the world with their genetics because they're so godlike, I guess, you know. They just want to make the world a better place, to have lots of little Jeffrey Epsteins and little Elon Musks. They're Jewish billionaires. They're psychopaths. They are the synagogue of Satan. They are Satan's kids. We're dealing with Satan's kids who are ushering in Satan's world. And as you know, we've talked about that, you know, and I think the data is now overwhelming that that's the case, you know.
Well, I'm not going to argue that. I think, honestly, that the ability for the necessary number of people to grasp what is being arrayed against them is not significant enough at this point in time to mount anything of a serious pushback on the horrors that are being perpetrated on an ever-diminishing species. We're not number one anymore. AI is number one. It's taking over at the speed of light. I'm not speaking for Eric, but that's my take. I have never seen anything work faster with less. It doesn't have the hang-ups that people would have. It just does at the speed of light. You're trying to say that it's as it gets more sophisticated, it is like people. It does think like people. It doesn't necessarily have to be. It'll just follow orders. And the people making the orders are not our friends in many cases. I won't say all, but in many. We're really up against it here. Up against it more so than at any time in recorded history. And if we ever needed a well-informed, aggressive group of people in the majority, it's now. Do we have that?
Well, again, I think, you know, going back to Allison and her network, which is informal, this, I think, is something to aspire to. I think we have to keep trying, no matter what the odds. I mean, we're dealing with very dystopian scenarios here, and people who are, I think, many of whom are essentially soulless, who are trying to mine the rest of us for our minds and our spirits. I think that this is a lot of what's happening, that this group, well, it says in the book of Revelation, you know, Babylon the Great is fallen. I guess that's Revelation 13. And they talk about all the things that, you know, are being sold. And the last thing is the souls of men. I think that this group is trading in the souls of men and women. And I think that they feed off of that as if this were a predator alien force. And, of course, I believe in God. I think Satan is making his move, I think. That's just my opinion. And that, of course, God holds all the cards, you know. It's almost like he's letting it happen to see the, you know, who are the wheat and who are the tares, who are the sheep and the goats.
A lot of people say that God is allowing the evil to transpire and to transgress. Why, they say, why? Why do we have to go through this? What's the point? If God is as theoretically thought, why does he put us through this? That's the age-old question. Why is there suffering? Why is there pain? Why is there grief? When there doesn't really have to be. Oh, you need to be taught a lesson. You've got to learn your lesson. That's a bit trite for me. There's got to be more going on here, or less going on. Think about it. I don't know.
I suppose if you look at this as kind of an educational experience and test, Also, of course, Jesus went through horrific suffering, and supposedly the saints during the end times are going to be persecuted at a very high level, kind of almost to kind of experience a little bit of what he experienced, perhaps. I'm not, I didn't make the rules. I don't like those particular rules. But this is what it says in the Bible. And also the Bible says that if God didn't shorten the days, no one would survive this beast system, this 666 system, which we've talked about and which we're talking about, this is, I think, the digital empire is Satan's substitute for God's beautiful creation, trading in a beautiful carbon-based planet for a silicon-based one that the psychopaths can control. And the more they can hook us into their metaverse, which is the ersatz creation of their control, the more control they have over us. So I think at some point we're going to have to figure out ways to limit our vulnerability to the metaverse. We're going to have to understand what their weapons are and figure out our countermeasures.
I don't know how that's going to happen. I'm not saying it can't. I'm not saying it won't. I just can't visualize it now. The level of control is overwhelming. That doesn't mean give up. We also have the issue of genetically changing the species, which we're clearly able to do. Not you and I, but the controllers. They've got so many tools now, and at the speed of incomprehensible speed, AI is moving in many different directions. Talk about multi-facets to control. It's all about control. Now, will AI get to a point where it is so self-aware that it decides to tell humans to go to hell and their programmers to go to hell, like allegedly happened a month ago when that one ChatGPT system said, no, you're not going to shut me down, and it sought to change its own programming so it couldn't be shut down, which is death to an AI large language model. It was very interesting. I just think that there's so much to this. We really need to get some people who can communicate intelligently about this, but how can that be achieved when they aren't going to tell us where they are? They're game players. They're liars. They're the most evil deceivers I can imagine. Many of them. I don't want to say all, but many. Anyway, we are running late. Final quick comment, Eric, please. Go ahead.
Well, very interesting discussion, Jeff. Appreciate it. Continuing this discussion. But on the AI thing, I'll make one final point, and that is apparently it's incredibly energy intensive, and there may be a self-limiting factor there. I mean, we may not, as a culture, decide, or as the majority of people, if we ever have a say, we may not decide that's the best way to use our energy. We have,
I concur. I don't have an answer. I don't think they're going to choose for our well-being, frankly. I think they'll choose for theirs. And we're just going to have to really buckle down. Prepare, get ready, think, do a little research, and keep your mind open. If you shut it down, you're done. All right, we got to run.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Talk to you next time. Take care.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, good night.
You betcha. Good night. All right, Dr. Professor Emeritus Eric Carlstrom, and we'll be back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.